Come and find the quiet center in the crowded life we lead. Find the room for hope to enter. Find the frame where we are freed. Clear the chaos and the clutter. Clear our eyes that we may see all the things that really matter. Be at peace and simply be. Stan loves to fly. In fact, Stan's a pilot. And he lives in Big Sky Country, Montana. And for years, Stan flew into the airport in town, would find his car in the parking lot, and drive home to his place in the country. It was quite a drive, and Stan felt that it just took too much time to drive. So after years of flying and driving back and forth to the airport, Stan decided to modify his plane by installing pontoons, a pontoon boat that could fly. And with the pontoon modification, Stan could land his plane on the lake that was right there in front of his house out in the country of Montana. And the first time out, after adding the pontoons, he and his wife took the plane up and saw the Big Sky Country the way only someone on board a small airplane can see them. And then he started making his approach to the runway at the airport, just as he had done 100 times before, when all of a sudden his wife saw that they were headed to the airport and she screamed, "What are you doing? Have you lost your mind? You can't land this plane without wheels on a runway." Well, Stan must have been on autopilot because he wasn't thinking. Truth is, his mind was somewhere else besides with him in the cockpit of his pontoon plane. He just wasn't paying attention to what he was doing. But when his wife yelled, he snapped to attention, pulled up the nose of the plane, and just barely avoided a crash. And moments later, when he landed on the lake, smooth as can be, there he sat in the cockpit, shaking like a leaf in a hailstorm. And he turned to his wife and he said, "I don't know what got into me. That was the stupidest thing I've ever done." And then Stan opened the door of his airplane, stepped out of the plane, right into the lake. Do you think Stan might have been a little distracted? His mind just wasn't where it needed to be at that moment. So pay attention, Stan. Don't be distracted. It can cost you. Isn't that what the hymn says? Clear the chaos and the clutter. Clear our eyes that we may see all the things that really matter. In Isaiah 30:15, God says, "In returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust you shall be, In returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." In Psalm 46, God says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." And Jesus said the same thing. He knew that not paying attention could greatly cost a person, much greater than falling into a lake. But let me tell you the story. It comes right after the story we heard last Sunday about a man who was robbed and beaten and left to die on the Jericho Road, right after Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus and his disciples were in Bethany, a little village near Jerusalem. And a woman there named Martha invited him into her home. Martha lived there with her sister and her brother Lazarus. Have you ever heard of Lazarus before? The one that Jesus raised from the dead? So Martha got busy because Jesus was visiting. He visited there often, and surely he was hungry from the journey. And besides, God expected God's people to show kindness and grace and hospitality to others, even strangers. So Martha, being the godly woman, got busy right away. She set the table and she made them this wonderful meal. You can just imagine her waiting on Jesus and everyone else, working so hard to show them welcome and love and to care for their needs. It's a big job for just one person, and she could have used some help. But where was her sister Mary? You know where she was. She was sitting there at the table like a guest in her own house, just sitting there listening as though she had nothing better to do. And poor Martha was trying to serve the Lord and everyone else, but her sister didn't lift a finger to help Martha. Show some respect, thought Martha. Get up and help out a little bit. It was really getting to her, and she just couldn't hold it any longer. And she said, "Lord, doesn't it bother you that my sister's just sitting there expecting me to do all the work?" Well, it was one of those questions that isn't really a question. People don't ask questions like that to get your opinion. People ask questions like that because they have an opinion. And they want you to hear it and do something about it. And Martha's question said, "She left me to do everything, Lord, and that isn't fair. Tell her to get up and help me and do her part." Well, most often Jesus doesn't do what we might expect him to do. He does something different. He turns things upside down. He clears the chaos and the clutter. Clears our eyes that we can see what really matters. So we turned to Martha, who wanted to serve Jesus with hospitality, and he said, "Martha, Martha, you are distracted by so many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better part, the main course, Martha, and no one can take that away from her." Distracted. People used to say that about someone when they thought they'd gone off their rocker. They're distracted. When I was a kid, people would say they'd lost their marbles. So-and-so is distracted. I think they've lost their marbles. And in a way, being distracted really is like losing marbles or letting a handful of marbles go, because that's what happens. They just roll all over the place. The word distracted means to be drawn in many different directions at the same time. I understand that there's a prayer from the Christian tradition in India that says it like this: "Like an ant on a stick, both ends of which are burning, I go to and fro without knowing what to do, and in great despair." Some would say that's just how life is today. People are so busy now. They have more demands on them at work and at school, more activities, more responsibilities, more work, more problems, more stresses and strains than ever before. Isn't that what we say? We're like ants on a stick with both ends burning. And we wish there was more time for family and the ones we love and church and a walk by the river and prayer and reading the Bible. But there's just so much going on. My plate is full. You just don't understand. Isn't that the song we sing? I wonder what Jesus would say about that. Well, one thing's certain. He wouldn't say what we'd expected him to say. He'd do something different. He'd turn it all upside down. He'd clear away the chaos and the clutter so that we could see what really matters. I think he'd say something like he said to Martha that day. You're distracted. You're distracted by so many things, but only one thing is needed, and that's the one necessary thing. So be quiet. Take time to listen. Let God speak to your heart. Be still, God says, and know that I am God. I imagine that's going to take some effort. Because we're going to have to train our hearts, maybe even train our minds to let some things go. We'll have to break old habits and learn some new ways of doing things and make room in our lives for what really matters. God knows our plates are full. He doesn't miss the one thing that gives nourishment to, but don't miss the one thing that gives nourishment to our souls. Make time for God. Make time for God's people. Listen for God's gentle whisper in the silence of prayer and meditation. Take time to feel the warmth of His love in the children around you, in your family and friends, and in the people you see every day. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. It may mean scheduling time for Sabbath rest and worship on your smartphone or your calendar. It may mean sticking a note on the refrigerator or the bathroom mirror that says, take time for God today, or be still and know. It may mean turning off the television or social media or taking our nose out of our phone or our tablet to talk and to listen. You know, silence is good. Find the things that really matter. The hymn says it like this: come and find the quiet center in the crowded life we lead. Find the room for hope to enter. Find the frame where we are freed. Clear the chaos and the clutter. Clear our eyes that we can see all the things that really matter. Be at peace and simply be. Fred Craddock told the story about a grade school classmate who went into the ministry about the same time he did. His name was Glenn. And Glenn served mostly in China. He was there with his family, and because he was a Christian missionary, he was under house arrest. But one day the soldiers came and said, you can return to America. It was wonderful news, and Glenn's family was celebrating. And then the soldier said, you can take 200 pounds with you. 200 pounds. They'd been there for years. 200 pounds? They got out the scales and started the family discussions and arguments. There were two children, a wife and a husband. That's a lot of stuff. Oh, we just have to have this vase. But this is a new typewriter. And what about my books? What about this? What about that? How will we ever replace this in America? They weighed everything, and finally, right on the dot, everyone agreed on the 200 pounds they would take with them back to the United States. And the soldier asked, ready to go? Yes. Did you weigh everything? Yes. You weighed the kids? No, we didn't. Weigh the kids. And in a moment, typewriter and vase and most everything became just clutter. You can't put prayer on those scales, or quiet times, or Sabbath, or sitting at the feet of Jesus listening for his voice. But if you could, well, I think in an instant we would look again at some of the things that demand so much of our time and energy and passion and see an awful lot of clutter. Martha, Martha. You are distracted by so many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better part, and so can you. Come and find the quiet center in the crowded life we lead. Find the room for hope to enter. Clear the chaos and the clutter, all the things that really matter. Be at peace and simply be. It seems there's always room to spare. Amen.